I could not follow the lecture program. I had my name mentioned as one of those who were approached by the Zionist parties to be prepared to be leaders or something like that. Am I wrong or right?
Tell us your name.
Atala Mansour was among the few Arab intellectuals who were fostered by the Mapam and brought up in some kibbutz and educated. So this is what I understand about from our conversation and my writing, reading in your.
We are looking for some Arabs to prepare them to be members of Mapam. So they took us to 11 kibbutz, for which I learned Hebrew. But I refused to be ever a member of any party, especially of Mapam. Mapam was the only party that offered me that honor.
Yeah.
Because I said, I am not willing to be your guest, provided you do, allow me to go to your bedroom as well. I am not ready to be your friend if you keep me on the balcony while you are eating with your wife. Okay? So forget about it. I was not asked by anyone. I was not prepared by anyone to be a leader to anything. I worked with Haolam Hazeh.
Yeah.
Haolam Hazeh was the party at then.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, that was a publication weekly. That was against everything that they didn't like.
Yeah.
Which was, I mean, the ultimate opposition of Israel at that time was Haolam Hazeh.
Yeah.
And from there, I was invited to work for Haaretz. I was not their foster, I was not their bride. I was working hard, earning my bread.
Thank you very much.
I also understood one sentence, I think, that made me angry.
He said that Arabs opposed I think the two of you
our
should have.
Our lands are confiscated for Jewish settlements. My three children, I have only three, bought houses from Jews that was built on Arab land confiscated.
Mr. Mansour.
And the Jews made money out of that.
Mr. Mansour, I suggest that the two of you have lunch together today. I think it's terrible
you
should do so.
No, I won't.
And I think this discussion actually shows up the complexity. I think you're absolutely right. I think it's a very difficult situation. But the fact that it is that we're meeting together here in Cambridge, I think it's wonderful that we are meeting together to try and sort out some of these histories of the past, which are very complex, and people are torn.
This is not history, Sam. This is going on today and tomorrow.
I think that the right of reply should be had over lunch. I really do urge it, and I think it shows that the depths of the emotions of people when they're forced to move. And refugees and people who do population swaps when you get these sorts of changes that have happened in the Middle East, and also incidentally happened with Salonika as well, when at the end of the Ottoman Empire. And it's very dangerous and it's very horrible, and it can create great angers. And I think they need to be sorted out, not in this conversation today, with respect. If you just have a very brief answer, but I think they should be discussed later, this one. But it is a personal one.
Yeah, what I want to say.
Very brief.
This is the importance of such meetings. Because the impression that I got from your writing and from my experience, this was my impression. And now we are able to explain yourself. This is the importance of such meetings that we can discuss and change ideas. Thank you very much for explaining.
Very correct. Thank you. It's an opportunity to sort out some of the problems of the past. We'd like to come to you. One other question then.
I appreciate what he said, and I found it very, very interesting.
Stand up and sit, and you're facing the way around.
Thank you, sir. I think that is the crux of why we're here, the anguish that all of this has caused to everybody. And my question was not academic, I'm afraid. I wanted to know how you and your family felt when you were told, obviously, for a country you had deep cultural and emotional ties to, sorry, you have to leave. Go be a soldier.
It was a feeling of humiliation, betrayal, that we were betrayed by our citizens and brothers, the Iraqis. Some of them were very sorry. I was also sorry. I felt that a sharp knife is cutting very cruelly my roots of 2,600 years in Iraq. But to feel the humiliation daily before our immigration, and that was unbearable. And to feel that your brothers have betrayed you, and you are lonely, and what we are going to do in Israel, what is our future? We don't know Hebrew. And to come with our old roots and customs to a new country that you don't know its language, it was a terrible feeling of loss and loneliness and betrayal.
You have a lot in common.
Pardon?
You have a lot in common with the gentleman who just spoke.
Yeah. I would.
I have a lot in common with Mr. Mansour.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Well, we could understand each other well.
It's a different side of the mirror.
Yeah, we could understand each other well. Gregor,
hang on a second. I need your help. I'm in a position now where we're at 25 past 10. The session is meant to end at 11, but we did start 10 minutes late. Mirav obviously is going to bring in a different topic, but it seems to me the history that we've just heard is such a deeply important history. There's an argument for saying maybe Mirav should take her slot again when it was intended earlier. Late, not possible?
I think, well, if I may say so, I think that my talk will make things a little bit more optimistic.
That's very interesting.
To bring it now.
Well, let's do that then.
I mean, the same subject lines will stay during the whole conference from different perspectives, and so the discussion will go on during the session.
So, Sydney, I think I'm afraid from your background.
Nothing to do with the political side, and something. Sydney, I saw the chair of the Moroccan Jewish Association here. I was very interesting and very, very emotional about something, because you mentioned Arabic dialect in Hebrew characters, and I thought my father was the only one who could write his testament in Hebrew and Arabic dialect, but in Hebrew. When you think of poetry, so I'm very pleased to see that it was through all the Arab world. But when you write and read poetry, this is what I was very interested in, the emotion being an Arab Jew and a new Israeli Hebrew speaker, where does it balance? Do you have the same emotion in Hebrew poetry as you had in Arabic poetry?
Can you say that as a yes, no answer? Something briefly.
I wrote Arabic, and I love Arabic, and I have published already 45 chapters of my memoirs in Arabic that the Arabs, Iraqi Arabs, said that only Iraqis can understand Shmuel Murray writing, because he writes for Iraqis and as an Iraqi. When I write in Hebrew, in Arabic, I express myself through the symbols, vocabulary, legends, and so on of Arab Muslim culture from the Jahiliyyah till today. When I tried to write in Hebrew, I felt I don't have roots, except the roots of our pismonim and piyut, that means our religious Hebrew poetry at home, of Halevi and other great Hebrew poets. But the modern Hebrew, I was not able to integrate in it as part of it, like in Arabic. Arabic, it's still streaming in my blood. Fortu and Iraq is streaming in my blood, in its waters and rivers, 2,600 years up to today.
So the answer, I think, is yes. Yes, Sydney.